Well, hello. Welcome to the Fireside Chat. I'm Dennis Prager. And yes, Otto, for some reason, has decided, at least for this Fireside Chat, to come back. I would say he was present for about 220. Maybe he missed 60. I'm not even sure he missed 60. Yeah, he might have. 60 is 4 into 12 for his 15 months. No, he didn't miss 15 months.
Yeah, that's a lot to miss.
So about 240. 250. Yeah.
But he starts.
Anyway, Otto's with us, my trusty Otto. And this is a very serious day. A personal note. As you all know, well, not if you're new, but if you're not new to me, I take happiness extremely seriously. I've written a book on it. I lecture on it. 1 hour of my radio show each week since 1999 has been on happiness. Some of you were not born when I started my happiness hour on my radio show. And I am happy. I am happy for many reasons, including my belief that it is a very important moral goal. It is an achievement to lead a happy life. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are the three goals, so to speak, in the Declaration of Independence of the United States of America. They are great, great goals. Remember, life and liberty are values, but so is the pursuit of happiness. They were very, very, very wise, the founders of the United States. Having said that, sometimes, either for personal reasons or for macro reasons, social or societal reasons, it becomes a challenge. I'm watching my beloved country, which even if you're not American and it's not beloved to you, which is totally understandable, it's very important. If America fails in the liberty world, liberty around the world will suffer. Already America is sending bad ideas to the world. The most obvious being that sex is not binary. The world that humans are not divided into male and female. It is an extremely dangerous and destructive idea, which I have talked about, but it's worth revisiting because it's so ubiquitous, which if you went to college and you don't know what that means, common, widespread. Okay, so I'm going to do something that I don't know if I've ever done. I write a column a week I have on the internet. And just like old Fireside Chats are worth watching or listening to, so too the columns. I always try to make them of permanent interest and importance. Uh-oh, is he moving?
Almost.
Well, all right, look, if he begins the Fireside Chat, that's good. Hello, young man. Yes, sir. Okay, so I'm going to read to you my column of this week. You can see all my columns at Town Hall and at DennisPrager.com the day they come out. And we're going to say, take care to Otto. There's no explaining why he does come in. Bulldogs are bulldogs, and they have a certain reputation of stubbornness. Okay, anyway, because of the unprecedented act taking place as I speak to you of the indictment of a president of the United States after he leaves office and the leader of the opposition party, this has never happened. This happens almost only in corrupt governments, what are often called third world, or in the Western Hemisphere, banana republics. This is what happens in dictatorships. The corrupt regime wants to get rid of the opposition leader. They make up some phony charges, or if not phony, flimsy. Because the truth is, every single one of you who is an adult can be charged with some offense by some DA. If you're a business person and you ever took a meal off as a business expense in America, we have that. And it wasn't really only about business or even at all. You could be indicted for that. It is not possible to overstate the damage to America in what has been done to President Donald Trump. He is not the issue. The issue is the fact that he is the head of the leading candidate of the opposition party and that he was just president of the United States. This is not something that happens for the charge of having paid hush money to a woman who alleged an affair with him, a one-night stand, as it turns out. And the issue is not morality. The issue is legality. It was not illegal. The whole charge is that it was essentially, he took it as a business expense because he paid his lawyer to pay her. I mean, my friends, in New York City, where this is taking place, this district attorney, this prosecutor, has allowed rapists and killers and carjackers to be out of prison. He has downgraded their offense from felony to misdemeanor. And in this case, he is upgrading a misdemeanor to a felony. So I wrote this column about what is happening in America generally, and here it is. My field of study in graduate school was communism. As a fellow at the Russian Institute of Columbia University School of International Affairs, I was, if I remember correctly, one of seven students in the entire university to major in what was known at the time as communist affairs. I cite this in order to make this point. In my wildest dreams, I never imagined what I was studying would ever apply to the United States of America, the freest country in world history. I assumed that communism was, for various reasons, something that happened elsewhere. Most obviously, Russia, China, Vietnam, Cuba, Cambodia, and North Korea. What were those various reasons? One was the absence of freedom in the history of those countries. Another was that all those countries were, with the exception of Cuba, outside of Western civilization. All these years later, I see that I was wrong. Communism, or if you will, left-wing fascism and totalitarianism, is coming to America and Canada, and a bit more gradually to Australia and New Zealand. Incredibly, or maybe not so incredibly, more than 200 years of unprecedented and unrivaled liberty and commitment to Judeo-Christian values and to reason, and all the unparalleled achievements of Western civilization have come to mean nothing to about half of the American people and to virtually every one of its major institutions. Our universities have become moral intellectual wastelands, almost as ideologically pure as Moscow State University was in the Soviet era. As of December 2022, for example, there were seven times more administrators, 15,750, at Stanford University than faculty, 2,288. And those administrators are largely working on the ideology of Stanford students. Our medical schools are embracing Soviet-like science. In more and more of them, incoming doctors are instructed not to use the terms male and female. Harvard Medical School officials use the terms pregnant and birthing people rather than pregnant women. And children's hospitals are using hormone blockers and mutilating perfectly healthy teenagers. Students at elite law schools such as Stanford and Yale behave as if they were members of Komsomol, the Soviet Communist Youth League. On the rare occasions that conservative speakers come to their campuses to speak, students heckle, shout, and curse at them, disrupting their ability to speak in ways reminiscent of Hitler Youth in 1930s Germany. The greatest of all freedoms, that of speech, is disappearing. Since Lenin, that is the father of Russian communism, no left-wing institution or country has ever allowed dissent. And the left in America, which is elected and defended by liberals who don't share left-wing values but vote for them, is no exception. Already, almost half of all college students say they do not believe in free speech for quote-unquote hate speech, which of course means they are for suppressing all speech with which the left differs. Perhaps even more than in the Soviet Union, lunacy has replaced reason. In Ontario, Canada's most populous province, the provincial agency in charge of education has announced that the notion that there is only one correct answer in mathematics is an expression of white supremacy. The Oregon Education Department has announced the same thing. The American Medical Association has declared that no American birth certificates should list the sex or gender of a child. The child will decide that later. American Medical Association. Teachers across the country are robbing children as young as five of their innocence. They are routinely taken to drag queen shows where men in women's clothing dance for them, sometimes lewdly. Why? Because it is the aim of most American schools, from first grade to postgraduate university, to have all American young people believe that sex slash gender is non-binary, quote unquote. That alone in the animal kingdom, human beings are not sexually divided into male and female. In the COVID-19 era, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, National Institutes of Health, and virtually every other national medical and health agency largely abandoned science and even elementary decency. Recall all the Americans who were forcibly deprived of any visitors and left to die alone in hospitals and became tools of the left. They and America's Sovietized teachers' unions ruined millions of American children by closing schools for nearly 2 years. In addition to the doomsday hysteria over climate change, the imposed gender confusion, and the absence of religion, this has led to the highest rate of adolescent depression and suicide ever recorded in America. Our Justice Department, about half of our judges, and our security agencies are well on their way to becoming what the Soviet Ministry of Justice, Soviet security agencies, and Soviet judges were, tools of the ruling party. Our mainstream media, with few exceptions, are as uncommitted to truth as were the organs of the Soviet Communist Party, Pravda and Izvestia. The New York Times, The Washington Post, CNN, ABC, NBC, CBS, NPR, and PBS play the same role for the left and therefore the Democratic Party. It was only a matter of time until the left would arrest a former president of the opposition party. This was the hardest column I think I ever wrote to describe the United States as moving towards being like the Soviet Union. See, this is what happens. People are much clearer about history than they are about the present. People judge things evil later, not while they're happening. We're living through that right now. Yep. This is an unbelievable milestone, the arresting of the head of the opposition party and former president by the ruling party. This has never happened in American history, and it is over trivia. The whole point was to arrest him. It has nothing to do with justice. However, as I learned from people calling into my radio show, I call my radio show, 40 years I've been doing it, my human laboratory gives me a great advantage over most other people who write and speak, because I talk with, not to, not only to, with thousands, tens of thousands probably of people over the course of all these years. People call in and tell me how much they hate Donald Trump. And it has nothing to do with justifying what happened. Well, in their mind, it does. It shows you how much people are animated by feelings. I have a new idea, which I will develop in another fireside chat, Megan. But this came to me while talking on the radio. In general, people believe what they want to believe much more than they believe what is true. Every one of us has to ask ourselves this question: what do I want to believe, and what do I believe? That's a great, great test for you to engage in about your perception of reality. For example, I want to believe there is a God. I want to believe there is an afterlife. I don't want to believe that after I die, there is no connection with anyone I loved or who loved me for eternity. That this tiny, tiny little time we had on Earth is all there is. That life is ultimately pointless. We're just another animal with a brain. And artificial intelligence may well have better brains one day. So I have always asked myself, do I believe in God because I want to believe in God? They're two separate questions, entirely two. That's what everybody has to do. So in other words, do you want to believe that Donald Trump should be arraigned, should be arrested, should even go to prison? Fine. But do you believe that this is good for this country? That's a separate question entirely. And if you're honest and decent, you have to ask both questions. What do you want to believe? And what do you believe? It is not possible to be decent and honest and say this is good for a country that in the history of the society of 250 years, no ex-president ever committed a crime? That's absurd. It's absurd. But they had the good sense, whether Republican or Democrat, you don't arrest an ex-president or the head of the opposition party. That is the mark of a dictatorship. So that's what you have to ask. Not what you want to believe. You have to ask that. But what do you believe? That's true for everything. And it is worth, as I say, engaging in that question. And everyone who wants to be a good person has to ask that question. Is what you believe what you want to believe? Or a good way of putting it is this: do you believe anything that you don't want to believe? If all of your wants to believe and what you believe are the same, that's a very, very problematic sign. So do you believe this is good for the country? What if Republicans start doing the same thing? Let's say the next president of the United States or the next whatever in some state. Why can't a state do that with Joe Biden when he stops being president? And believe me, I'm certain he committed much more serious crimes than Donald Trump. But it doesn't matter. I don't want him arrested. It is not good for the country. I think of kids in this country to see a president of the United States brought to a court. I didn't have to deal with that when I was younger. Okay. To your questions. Here we go.
Hey, Dennis. Steven here. I've been in Prager Force for a while. I am greatly honored you could take my question. My question is, as a Gen Zer myself, what key value should Gen Zers like hold on to? Because there's a lot of craziness going on in today's society, and I think it would be a service that you provide key values that me and other Gen Zers should hold on to. Thanks for answering my question.
Well, thank me after I answer your question. Okay, so that was Steven, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So what key values you and other Gen Zers should hold on to? The exact same values all humans in any generation should hold on to. So here's one great example. To understand that with very few exceptions, your greatest battle is with you and your nature, not with the society. The moment you realize that, you will become a mature, responsible, and better human being. The more you blame others and society for your problems, for your unhappiness, for your misery, whatever it might be, the worse a person you will become. That's the way it works. When people call me up, as they have so often, so Dennis, my husband and I are going to have a child, and or we just had a child. What do you suggest? Give me a piece of advice. And I've given the same one for decades. Self-control is infinitely more important than self-esteem. And that's a variation on what I'm telling you now. Your battle, my battle, is with me. Your battle is with you, not with society. If you live in a horrific society that, you know, a Nazi or communist state, your biggest battle may well be with the society. But in a free society, your biggest battle is with you. That's the one I would answer. The other answer is, please read the Rational Bible. My three volumes that are out, fourth volume is coming out next year. It'll be five volumes on the first five books. It's filled with the question, answering the question, what values should we hold? Okay, that was big. That was really, really, really big. That turns your life around the moment you realize your battle is with you. Not your parents, not sexism, racism, transphobia, homophobia, or whatever it might be. You are your biggest challenge, not the society. Then you become a good person. And a happy person. What's our timing?
We're good. 24.
We are good. Whatever your answer would have been good. What answer would be bad? Okay, let's see here. Brad in Colby, Kansas, USA. Hope. I have always looked at it as a good thing, but I wonder. Hope makes us stay the course, keeping doing what we're doing, and things will work out. Right? But I would rather not hope. I would rather know. Doesn't hope make us passive to change? After all, hope is one of the things spilled out of Pandora's box. I would like your thoughts. You can't know in many cases. You don't know the future, and I don't know the future. When I go in my car, I hope I won't be hit by a drunk driver. I don't know I won't be hit by a drunk driver. You can't know the future. Hope is a very important part of life. No hope, it's the choice of no hope is despair. And despair is the end. Despair, as I'm writing in my next book of commentary, is a sin. Kyle, 27, Rochester, Minnesota. I need an answer. Can you please help? I wanted to know, is it bad to quit something? In this case, I'm talking about a school program. Does it make a difference if you like it or not? Why is quitting seen as a bad thing? Well, there's a lot of questions there. Like almost every question, it needs context. I quit graduate school. I was at Columbia for 2 years. I didn't get my master's degree. I gave my oral thesis, but I didn't actually write the thesis. I knew how long it would take. And by the way, I don't touch type. And this was before spell check. Spelling was never a problem, but autocorrect. I mean, I'm not a great typist. And anyway, I just realized all of that work to write that thesis, I would get a master's degree in international affairs, but so what? It didn't matter to me. I learned what I needed to learn. I gave my oral thesis. By the way, I gave it under someone most of you never heard of, but that person became a very important American, Zbigniew Brzezinski. He became the head of national security for Jimmy Carter. He went very far. Anyway, I quit to write an introduction to Judaism called The Nine Questions People Ask About Judaism. And it became the best-selling English language introduction to Judaism. Now, which was more valuable? Another thesis on Soviet communism? Or the book that touched a lot of people's lives? It's still in print, by the way. So it depends what you quit and do. It's like parents say to me, so Dennis, you keep saying you didn't do any homework in high school, which is true. I didn't do any homework in high school. I'm very proud of it. And I graduated very low in my class, by the way. And they say, oh, so it makes me feel good because my kid doesn't do schoolwork. But I always tell them, okay, but what is your kid doing when he or she is not doing homework? Partying, playing video games, on social media, doing nothing. That's the question. If you quit X, what is Y? That's the question about quitting. And why are you quitting? Are you quitting because you don't like it? That's what you asked. That's not a good reason. It might be a good reason if you have something better that you like. Fine with me. So I think the biggest question about quitting is what will you do after you quit? Is it time to quit the fireside chat?
Yeah, we're at 29.
Yeah. It's a good one to end on. It's a really important thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for watching this. Please feel free to send in questions. Where do people send it?
At PragerU.com at the fireside chat page.
At the fireside chat page at PragerU.com. I love your questions. This was an important hour. It's funny, somebody wrote in about hope, and I read such a despairing column that I wrote this week about how and where America is headed. But believe me, I have hope. I have more than hope. I don't have knowledge. I don't know the future. But if enough people awaken to the beauty of the values that animated this society and which animate Western civilization, we can preserve this great experiment in human liberty. Thanks for watching.
Thank you for watching this video. To keep PragerU videos free, please consider making a tax-deductible donation.